Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. My goal is to help you realize that no matter what you have been through, you can rehab your life. I will be sharing stories of women who have overcome medical challenges just like myself. We will talk about medical trauma, setting SMART goals, holding each other accountable, and spiritual growth and development, and more. I'm looking forward to growing with you on this journey this year. And we will get started in just a few moments. This episode is brought to you by I Run On Oils. Owner Carolyn Todd is an independent wellness advocate of doTERRA oils. Have you been struggling with your mood, skin, or hair? Could you benefit from learning how to use oils to boost your immune system, strengthen your hair, and clear up your skin, and more? Try I Run On Oils. Speak to independent wellness advocate Carolyn Todd today. Check out their website. It's a bit.ly/I Run On Oils. All right, this is episode number 2 of the Rehab Your Life podcast for 2023. My guest today is Jennifer Morris. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Hello.
So what you wanted to talk about, you've been a guest on the podcast before where you talked about your overarching medical condition. And I do want you to touch on that just a little bit. But what we're going to talk about this time is for someone who has a already existing medical condition and their experience with COVID-19. So we're going to be talking about comorbidity and COVID-19. So can you share briefly what your pre-existing health condition is, what it's called, and just a little bit of kind of the side effects that you experience from it?
Okay, sure. What I was diagnosed with is Chiari malformation and syringeal melia. So they're two separate conditions. The first condition, Chiari malformation, is basically a what happens when the skull, when the brain is and the skull basically don't match. The skull, the brain herniates out of the foramen magnum at the end of the base of the skull. And so that can cause, when that happens, that puts pressure on the brain and it causes the fluid in the brain, the spinal fluid, to come out of the skull, and it sometimes it forces its way into the spinal cord, which causes the syringeal melia, which is basically it could cysts can form inside the spine. So you've got two things that are separate, but it's kind of like a chicken egg concept. Now you can have Chiari without the syringeal melia, and you can have the syringeal melia without the Chiari. It is my belief. I believe that's true. But so basically you have a brain condition, and then you have what is a spinal cord injury.
And so then some of the side effects that you personally are experiencing are what?
Basically, you can have pressure in your face, in your skull, which feels like a very, very bad migraine. But from what I understand, I have family members with migraines, it seems like it's a different type of pain. But it also, this type of pressure and pain can be exacerbated by like coughing and sneezing, or even like any kind of like, if you're, if you're walking and then all of a sudden you come to an abrupt stop, that can cause pain as well. So, you know, with the spinal cord issue, the cerebral amelia, what happens is that you then become very susceptible to stimuli. So if you're wearing something that is too tight, that can cause like a autonomic dysphagia, that can cause your body to go into a kind of a shock-like condition, which could cause profuse sweating. It could mimic, you know, other kinds of, you know, events. You could think that you're having some kind of a, you know, an attack, or, you know, it's a sensory, can cause the sensory issues. In my case, I had that, but I also, how it manifested is paralysis. I no longer have the full use of my body, and I am susceptible to like skin rashes, and I just, my body can't protect itself like it once could, without, you know, before I had the spinal cord injury. So I remember my neurologist telling me that, you know, well, we've treated, you know, no one can cure TRA malformation. However, the ongoing issue, your problem is going to be stemmed from the spinal cord issue, the cerebellomalacia, because that's what we're going to have to continue watch. You know, there's going to be issues. You're going to have skin infections. You're going to have all these things that you're going to have to stay on top of. You're going to have to keep your skin clean and dry, and it's almost like, you know, how babies and you know, the elderly are very sensitive to, you know,
right, the moisture and skin breakdown. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I've had to deal with, you know, since, you know, the manifestation of the spinal cord injury. And, you know, most people think that, you know, okay, you know, you have a spinal cord injury, you have a, you know, you're paralyzed, you know, you just can't move. But it's you're fighting the elements. You're fighting. You're trying to keep your body at a homeostasis. You're trying to keep that level of, you know, balance, and you don't have the natural ability, you know, that a lot of people that do not have spinal cord injuries, they have that ability where, you know, they can. There's a basic level of protection that they have, that most people have. But when you have, you know, when you're immunocompromised, that lessens that degree by, you know, by however many increments, however severe your condition is, your natural ability to ward off infection is reduced. Okay.
Right. And so, like, you know, I want to clarify a little bit, because when people think of paralysis, they automatically would think that you were in a wheelchair, but you're not. Mm-hmm. And so you do have some ability to be able to move around, just not as independent as you would like to be. And correct. So then when you throw in COVID, and you literally, when I had COVID, the first thing I was thinking was, I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck. And so it exhausts you, and it takes your ability away to be able to physically just get up and even go to the restroom. So I can imagine. So let's kind of take that pivot and start talking about, like, you know, when you found out you had COVID, you know, first of all, I know you were thinking, like, oh no, because you know, the message, the narrative that was out there was that for people who had comorbidity, that mm-hmm. COVID was almost a death sentence.
Exactly.
And so, you know, tell us a little bit about kind of where your mind was, how it impacted your body, all of the tea.
Okay. Well, just to piggyback off one thing you said, I am a what is called a hemiplegic. So that means that I do, my paralysis affects certain portions of my body and some internal organs as well. What happens when you have lived with paralysis and you are dealing with an infection or when, you know, I thought it was okay. I went to a family gathering and I thought that it was, you know, small enough where I would be okay. And so I remember knowing something was different within my body fairly quickly. When you have any type of paralysis, it's kind of like someone giving you the same workload, but you have less tools to do it. But I was very aware when I felt, you know, my fatigue was higher. And it's kind of hard to sometimes for me to relay the fact that, you know, sometimes you can feel more paralyzed when you are, you know, when you are hemiplegic, because you know what your body feels like normally, but when there's something else in play, you notice real quickly, like, hey, I don't feel right. There's something not right here.
Right, right.
So
so it's interesting that you had also said about, you know, feeling more fatigue. So you already have a baseline level of fatigue based on having to deal with what you're already dealing with.
Yes. So when I wake up and I'm always, you know, you're aware of, okay, so today's a normal day. You know, I wake up and still, you know, it's still going to be a challenge, but you know, it's nothing is different. But when I woke up that morning from going, you know, and I was only gone for maybe less than 4 hours. And so when I came back, when I woke up the following morning, I knew right away, because, you know, when I got up, I, you know, went to get my walker, went to reach for my walker, and the amount of time and the effort it took me to just stand on my feet, not even get to the bathroom, just stand on my feet and stand upright and not walk back. I was like, okay, something is going on. And then I felt, you know, how sometimes when you get a sinus infection or a cold, you feel as if you feel as if you feel the stages, you know, you're getting worse and worse. So you know, okay, you know what, it's not a regular cold, this may be a sinus infection, or this may be XYZ. When COVID happened, there was no ramp up. There was no, oh, okay, you know, the sniffles turned into, you know, the symptoms were just bam there. And it's kind of like, I remember I got a flu vaccine, and it was similar to that, where I felt the effects. I felt like I had a full blown case of the flu. And this is the same issue. I knew right away what it was. And part of me wanted to be in denial, because I was like, wow, this is not a good thing. You know, it was a little unnerving. But then you know, I had good days and I had bad days, and I, you know, I just remember the worst part of it for me was the cough. I felt it's hard for me to, you know, really clear my lungs anyway. So with me, it was the coughing. It was the, you know, that's what I really could. It was exhausting for me. Let's just say that it was just exhausting, just, you know, having that. And then I was just, I think before COVID became, you know, a part of our everyday society, and it had us all in, you know, like that chokehold for a while, no pun intended, but I always understood that I had I was immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't know how at risk that made, you know, my demographic. It just really brought it was a wake up call for me, you know, knowing that this was always the case for me. I just didn't see, sometimes I remember I've told you before that I have to remind myself sometimes, okay, you know what, you're moving as though you don't have issues. You're making decisions and you're not clear about your condition. You're overlooking your health concerns, and it's not like I wanted to make I've always wanted to be the type of person that did not want to have my life revolve around what was going on with my body, my disability. I wanted to be Jennifer, and I wanted people to see me as Jennifer. And I think sometimes it's almost like, you know, I want to say that I forgot, but other times I think sometimes I moved willfully ignorant of my condition. And then when we had a health crisis, an international health crisis, I had to really understand and say, you know what, I'm not like everyone else. This does affect, it's life or, if it was life or death for most people who weren't disabled or had a pre-existing condition, then what did that say for me? And so I had to take this very seriously. And then I just...
Well, but one of the things that, you know, you and I talk about like all the time, just in general, but in reference to this particular topic, I was not a proponent of people getting so fearful because of their condition that they would not interact and engage with other people. Mm-hmm. But also understanding that you do have to have precautions and things in place because you are immunocompromised. And so for those who really just kind of shut down, I was like, no, don't do that. And the reason that I say don't do that is because history has shown us that in order to be able to fight off something, you actually do have to be exposed to it on a certain level for your body to even be able to recognize, like, oh shit, this is something, you know, okay. And then for your body to be like, okay, let's figure out how to fight this. And so for those who literally shut down, sterilize the place, that is actually not the best thing for your body. because then your body cannot create the defenses that it needs to be able to fight it. And so having the person come to the door to deliver your food as an interaction is a needed thing, because yes, you don't want to catch their germs, but at the same time, you don't want to not be able to breathe the same air that other people are breathing and think that you're going to survive, you know, in a sterile location, because you're going to have to engage with that air at another point in time, and you're not going to know how to handle it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And you know, I agree with you. And I believe that, you know, the people whose bodies can produce that immunity, and, you know, I definitely get it. I definitely get it. And that is how, you know, populations survive infectious, you know, mm-hmm. organisms. And, you know, my issue is that there are segments of the population who it's kind of like, you know, we can't beta test.
Right.
You know, we can't beta test. We're going to have to wait till things come out on the market that, you know, someone else that has the, you know, the physical constitution that can beta test is, you know, can do that. And, you know, I wish that I could have been one of the people that were like, you know what, let me just go out and let me see, you know, let me try to keep society going. But, you know, because, you know, I get it. And I remember thinking about you very often. I'm like, you know, Karen is a social butterfly. Karen has, she needs people, like she needs, you know, food. You know, you are that person that is always ripping and running and going and trying to be of service, which is, you know, that's your calling. That's who you are. So I know the pandemic was, you know, I know for a fact it was not the bee's knees for you.
Well, you know, it yes and no, because I, of course, did sit down, especially in the very beginning, because everybody was trying to figure out, okay, what is this? And people were literally catching it and dying within 5 days. So it was like, whoa, Nelly, you know, let's figure this out. But then, you know, like I said, I was of the mindset that if you're never exposed to something, your body doesn't know how to fight it off. So I did eventually catch it. And that first one was a doozy, you know, made it through it. But like you said, it's something where you immediately notice in your system, you know that, okay, something don't feel right. Mm-hmm. But I believe that even I ended up catching it 3 times. Total since it's, you know, come on the scene. And the last time that I caught it, it was just like a sniffle. It was a sniffle. But I still have not lessened, you know, I still wash my hands, I still use a sanitizer, I still try not to touch doorknobs and all of this. If someone is coughing, I try to move away, you know, all of those things, because at the end of the day, I am still immunocompromised with having cancer.
Yeah.
But I appreciate how I handled it, because had I not allowed myself to even be exposed just a little bit, I think the consequences would have been a little bit more, because I had lung surgery where, you know, they cut off the bottom part of my right lung. So anything where you talk about breathing and, you know, stuff like that, then you definitely have to be mindful. Well, so I completely understand where you're coming from. So I'm not, you know, ganging up on you.
No, I understand. I had a shunt in my lung to deal with the fluid, to bypass the fluid, to make sure that it was no longer going into my my spinal cord. But what happened is eventually my lung collapsed and it was never able to fully, I was never able to fully regain the total function in that lung. Okay. So when a flu vaccine can cause me severe pain, like I'm talking about like searing pain in my muscles and in my joints, and make me to the point where I cannot ambulate.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I can't take the flu vaccine, not because, you know, I'm not supposed to have, I shouldn't have that protection against the flu, because even the flu could do the same thing to me.
Yeah.
But the vaccine makes it so I can't walk, makes it so that my organs don't, can't push the thing. So with someone like me, and if the flu does that to me.
Right.
So wow. People were saying, oh, it's just the flu. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. A lot of us can't survive the flu.
Yeah.
A lot of us can't get just, it's just a no. And it's to the point where people are like, well, yeah, I get it.
But that's actually good information, because like you were saying, like this subsection of the population that really has some comorbidity issues and people truly don't understand. And so this is a good conversation, you know, for people to be like, oh, no, you know, you still acting funny. It's just, you know, COVID. Like, no, there's a reason that, you know, we have to be even more conscientious when other people have let their guard down.
Yeah, and it's I don't want people to feel bad, because you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
Like I did not know about paralysis and the many layers of it until I had to know, until it affected me personally.
Yeah.
And then you see things differently. You know, you think about, even when you think about something that we all have heard about, like cancer, most people think that, okay, well, it's the physical cancer that kills you or that causes the issue. No, some people they're in remission, or you know, it's not the growth of the tumor. It's the comorbidity of something else going on, because their body has been compromised by the cancer.
Right.
Something else is going on, like an infection.
Right.
Okay. And so the body is when it's not in homeostasis, it's like anything goes. It's like it's all hands on deck. It's like everybody it's a free fall for all in many cases.
Right.
And it can be depressing when you know, you're the only person in the store with a mask. And then they give you the, oh, you know, here she comes. You know, she's one of those no, I'm not a germaphobe. Well, this is survival for me.
Right.
And it's kind of like, and I feel that you may be able, well, I know you'd be able to relate. When someone knows that you are not, quote unquote, not well, there is this look, like this look that comes on people's faces, and you notice that the calls are not as frequent as they used to be. You notice that you don't get invited out as much. You notice that people's attitudes change, you know, toward you, because they see you as a patient. They see you as someone that can't do. And you're like, no, I can still do. I just have to do things differently.
Exactly.
And when people look at you and they see that mask, or in my case, sometimes, you know, they see that walker, or if I'm not feeling, really not feeling well, they see me in a wheelchair. They're like, okay, well, it makes them feel bad. It makes them think about their health. And that's not necessarily something that they want to think about.
Right. Well, I feel like we've had some really good conversation for this first part of the podcast. I'm going to go ahead and pivot to my 7 powerful questions.
Yay.
So question number 1, are you a spiritual person?
I am.
Yeah, you know, I like to ask the question because not everybody is. And when you start to go through some health challenges, you know, you got to have something to be able to, you know, get you through. And so just having that relationship with Christ definitely makes a difference. Question number 2, what have you learned about yourself while going through your challenges?
I learned, and I think this is a good thing, but it's also, I'm going to frame it negatively, just so, as a teaching tool. I found out that if I'm not challenged, in many ways, I won't do. I found out that once I'm challenged, that I'm very formidable. But if I don't have that challenge, I find out that I'm a warrior. I'm like one of those. In Black Panther, one of those female warriors. I find out that I'm one of them. When push comes to shove, when all avenues are blocked off, that I am very formidable. When need be, I can handle things. I can do good work. But oftentimes, if I don't feel challenged, I don't feel motivated to do anything. And so when my body got to the point where I was disabled, because my condition stemmed from a birth defect, I found out who I truly was.
Right.
And sometimes it makes me feel good, but it also makes me, I framed it negatively because I want people to understand is that, you know what? Sometimes people don't get the opportunity to step up because they don't live that long.
Right. Or people around them don't allow them
exactly
to experience it because, oh, they have a disability. They can't handle that.
So, yeah, you don't need a disability to step up and rise to the occasion. And then this is for anyone that's listening to me. You don't have to have an origin story. You don't have to have a villain origin story like myself. Mad at the world and mad at God for her body's condition. You don't need, what you need is to step up and step into your purpose and know that you're here for a reason. And go right ahead and do the thing that you were put here to do. And if you don't know what that is, well, it's find out.
Yeah.
And enjoy that time and take the time to be able to be free enough to find that out.
So question number 3, how have you experienced the grace of God during this season when you were battling COVID?
Well, I just, for me, at the beginning, through the pandemic, I I was amazed on, you know, how long it, you know, I was able to, you know, avoid, you know, the virus. But even before that, I felt very, very fortunate that while a lot of people were stuck at home and depressed, and some people lost their employment or had reduced employment, I had a job. I was working more than I ever had professionally in my life. And I felt like I was on par with my peers. I didn't feel quote unquote disabled, because a lot of us were in the same boat. A lot of us were working from home. A lot of us were working similar hours.
Right.
A lot of people who had never, ever in their life been disabled understood what it was like not to be able to have the full use or of their body or be compromised in some way. So I felt heard, and I, it's not like I was glad that people were sick, but people were seeing things different.
Yeah.
The work and life balance, they wanted that, you know, back. They wanted a change in their life. They didn't want to go back to the status quo before.
Right.
And I felt like there was a shift in the way people thought, and there was a shift in the way I thought. And I felt like I was a part of society again.
Awesome.
To be truthful.
So question number four. Are you familiar with the fruit of the Spirit?
Yes.
Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, self-control, patience, goodness, gentleness, joy, kindness, peace, and love. There's nine fruit of the Spirit. In what ways do you see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life now?
Wow, that is...
Because you know how after a major like life event for a lot of people, and like you were saying, people see it differently. They want a different life balance, you know, but then you start to also see that people tend to be a little bit more kind. People tend to, you know, try to really seek after peace a little bit more than what they had in the past. And so are any of those fruits really showing up in your life for you after having kind of, you know, gone through this potentially life-altering experience? Because like you said, for you, it could have been the difference between life and death catching COVID.
Well, to be honest, I would say that this was a lift. I saw the change. I saw the evidence after I was, after I became paralyzed.
Okay.
And that was faithfulness. That was kindness. And I remember when I had my kids, I always felt like I was their steward. I felt like I was, you know, I was the caregiver. I was the servant, and I was also the drill sergeant, and it was, in a lot of ways, it was my way or the highway or whatever. I had to be able to compromise and work on my interpersonal skills, because what I saw was the Lord saying, you know what, you were in control in every aspect of your life, almost every aspect of your life, when it came to parenting and whatever. But then I saw that I had to depend on my children for help, you know, with my hair, with showering. The most basic needs sometimes had to, I had to depend on these little ones to help me. And they did so with a smile and a willingness to help, even to this day. And it broke me, because I thought that, you know, these children are so kind. And I saw, and it was through them I felt the grace of God.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, he really will take care. He will take care of the birds. He will take care of the smallest creature, the least of these. And I became the least of them. Wow. And he took care of me.
Wow.
So if my children call, I'm like, you know what? It's not just them calling. God needs to hear from me. God is calling me for something. I'm going to answer that call, because he used them to answer my prayers. He used them to comfort me and to care for me and to remind me that I was still here and I was still loved and I was still a person.
Wow. And that actually kind of ties into question number 5, but you might want to add a little bit more to it. It says, what kinds of support did you receive from family and friends throughout your challenges?
You heard, you know, me and my children, but my mother. My mother and I for a long time had it wasn't a bad relationship. It was just our communication was not it was not on point. You know, she could say something in a manner that would have me in tears, and she didn't even mean it to hurt my feelings. I was just hurt the way she said and how she said it. And I would say sometimes it would be me that would say something, and she'd be ready to climb the walls. And I didn't mean it the way she took it. So we had this weird dynamic. And I was like, you know what? I don't think she likes me. I don't think I'm her cup of tea. And when my challenge happened and she found out that I won't even say I was ill, but I just had a condition that I needed help. She sold her house, she packed up her belongings, and she came down and lived with my sister. And she came and she cared for me. When I was hospitalized, she cared for my children 24/7. And then when I came back and I needed an attendant, personal attendant, I needed someone to help me with my ADLs, with my daily living, she did it. And I was like, wow, I was able, I want to say, you know, we were able to work on a relationship, but it wasn't even that, it was the fact that I had a wall up, because I felt that she didn't, she just didn't, we didn't communicate well. And I found out that, you know what, Jennifer, you're not always right. A lot of the times you have some preconceived notions in your head, and I was able to recognize love.
Mm-hmm, that's heavy.
And sometimes love will tell you right when it when you don't want to hear right. Love will tell you when you're wrong. Love will a mother's love is not always a cookie, a home-baked cookie and an apple pie and a pot of greens. Sometimes a mother's love is telling you when you're wrong and telling you that if you continue down this path, it's not going to be good for you.
Right, right.
And I did, like I said, in a lot of ways, I believe that, you know, I had to learn these things in a specialized environment, in a quiet environment, in one-on-one.
Right, right.
Because I think I was, in a lot of ways, I was doing too much, and I was thinking too much. I was influenced in a different way. I didn't, and like I said before, it's not that you need a villain origin story. It's not that someone needs an illness, someone needs a condition to have these epiphanies and to know that, you know what, you know, maybe there is another way to look at things. Maybe I'm not being objective.
Actually, that's rolling into question number 6. Do you have any words of wisdom for someone who may be going through something similar? Because you are not the only person that I know that has struggled with Chiari malformation. And so also their existence in this, you know, pandemic world as well. So I'm sure that, you know, you may have some words of wisdom for them.
All I would say is, first of all, listen to your body. Listen to your body and make the best health decisions and make the best overall decisions that will keep you safe and healthy and you know, that's that about, you know, you're listening to your body. But I also want them to go forward with your dreams and aspirations, but also do so with your condition and your health in mind. I'm not saying that you need your disability, that Chiari or any other thing needs to be your personality. But I believe sometimes when we want to disregard our situation, that could lead us down roads that we shouldn't be down. That can, you know, choosing to do things and do activities that are not conducive for our health will just exacerbate your condition and make other it just will, you know, it cause other problems. I just want them to be true to yourself and understand that, yes, you're living with a condition, but modify. Don't stop your dreams. Don't stop your hustle, but modify it. Modify it. Don't stop. Just modify. Keep going. Modify and help find people that will help you.
Yeah, that's some really good information. And then question number 7, last question. How do you plan to use what you have been through to encourage someone else?
Well, I try not to preach, but I want the people, everyone to know, regardless of their disability, or regardless of their health status, that the only way you fail is if when you don't try. And no matter what your status is, as long as you are sentient and have the ability to influence others, you have the ability to make change in life, positive change, and be that change that you want to see. Don't sit around and wait. Don't stand around and wait. Don't wait for anyone. Don't wait for permission, because no one is going to give you permission. God has already given you permission by you being able to open up your eyes and move throughout your day.
That's good stuff right there. So no matter what challenges you are going through, like you said, just keep moving forward. You don't have to ask anyone for permission. God has already given you permission just by putting breath in your lungs.
That's exactly. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for taking out the time to speak with me. And, you know, you are on Team Rehab Your Life, so I'm sure the peoples will hear from you again in the future. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it. No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Renew You Body Butters. Renew your skin, renew your life. Renew You Body Butters is a handcrafted luxury skincare brand that seeks to heal you and your loved ones, one application at a time. So if you suffer from eczema or other skin conditions, try Renew You Body Butters. And just for Rehab Your Life listeners, there is a special code, RENEWYOU20, for 20% off your order, and you get free shipping on orders over $99. Go to RENEWYOUBODYBUTTERS.com. This episode is brought to you by my books, Lose to Win and Nothing Can Stop the Promises of God, Not Even COVID-19. They are both available on Amazon.com, and please consider switching over to smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit of choice that you would like to support in 2023. That's one way that you can support the organization with your everyday shopping. That is smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit. Thank you in advance. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. Be on the lookout for our upcoming events. Thank you so much. Talk to you next time.